We're continuing to hear Jesus teaching in the temple area. Again, this is we're continuing from last week. He's in the temple area, most likely at this point. It is most likely Tuesday of Holy Week, March 31st of 33 AD. And he's been teaching in the temple early morning, and this seems like it would be later on in the afternoon because he's been teaching there for a while. And the Sadducees had come, and the Pharisees and scribes had come and tried to trap him, ask him questions, and he basically answered them. And if you read Matthew's gospel, it basically says no one dared to ask him any more questions. So this is where we're at. Jesus basically has stumped and has answered the questions that were posed to him. And now Jesus is making some points, and he's speaking, as we hear in this gospel, to the crowds and his disciples. Now, just remember that if this is Tuesday of Holy Week, obviously Jesus goes to his death on the Friday. And this is, seems like if you read the Gospels, this is his last opportunity to speak to his disciples in general. We know that he speaks to his apostles the night of the Last Supper. But this kind of like is his last speech or whatnot to his disciples in general that are there in the temple area. And it's interesting what he's saying. You know, he's criticizing the scribes and the Pharisees. He basically says to his disciples and those that are there, basically, listen to what they say, do what they say, but don't do what they do. So he's kind of saying, you know, we're all called to practice what we preach. And he says a number of other things. And then if you continue to read Matthew's gospel, it's interesting how you have to really understand the context here. We'll skip it. We don't read this next week. At least I looked at ahead of it. And yeah, we shouldn't be reading this. But if you follow this gospel, Matthew's gospel, he says Jesus gives seven woes to the Pharisees and the scribes. He says basically, woe, woe, woe. You know, it's woe is kind of a bad thing. And he touches upon basically that the scribes and the Pharisees, they're locking the kingdom of heaven to themselves, but also to others. That's the first woe he talks about. The second woe basically is he's saying that you have converts, but then these converts fall away. The third point he makes is kind of tying in that they're focused more on money in the temple rather than on giving God praise and sacrifice. The fourth one, they're basically focused more on the details of the law rather than on judgment, mercy, and fidelity. Think about this. So the next one is they clean the outside of themselves, but not the inside. The next one is they basically are like whitewashed tombs. They're clean on the outside, but filthy on the inside. And the last one is basically Jesus says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you're critical of your ancestors and the prophets who've gone before you, but you guys aren't basically doing what you should today. So I'm just bringing these up because they tie into actually what we're talking about in today's gospel. It's almost like Jesus makes a point in today's gospel, but then accents it with these woes. So kind of maybe your homework assignment to go home and read the following parts of Matthew's gospel and look at these woes. But I want to focus on three elements that Jesus brings up. Because all of us are called to be his disciples, and they're applicable, certainly as he is giving them to the scribes and Pharisees, but they also apply to us in general as his disciples. Why would he be telling the Jews, the crowds that are in front of him and his disciples, if it wasn't important for them to know this? So for us, first one I'll bring out is practice what we preach. Jesus says, practice what they preach, but don't actually do what they're doing. So for us to be mindful of that about in our lives, do we practice what we preach? It's for our salvation. You know, we know about the faith, we understand at times what we're called to do, but do we actually do it? That's important for us to be mindful about. Because our salvation, it depends on it. And another thing, and that is if we're wanting to move people to the good, to Christ, we better not be hypocrites. We better not be hypocrites, because that can really turn people off, right? Boy, that person, you know, they look at us and say, what is this? They believe in this, but they're doing this? Now, obviously, there's certain points where we fail. You know, this is why we have, you know, we sin, we fail. But in general, are we really trying and moving and practicing what we preach? So to look at that, and one of the things, you know, for us to look at is you know, when we're talking, when we're telling somebody to do something or we're correcting someone, maybe we should look at ourselves and say, you know, maybe is there some little elements of truth in what I'm saying to this other person that maybe I need to look at in my life? You know, that can happen. God can work in that way. Or other areas where we just like we step back and it's like we have an experience and we're like, okay, yeah, Lord, you're trying to tell me that I need to work on elements of that in my life. Another way to look at and check out our lives is look at, you know, we're known by our fruits, specifically the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You know, the fruits of the Holy Spirit are love, joy. You know, am I joy filled person? Or am I walking around, moping around? Kindness, am I kind? Gentleness, modesty, chastity, self-control. You know, am I disciplined? Generosity, faithfulness. So you can go look up the fruits of the Holy Spirit and you look at them. Am I exhibiting these things in my life? And if not, it's like, okay, I need to, with God's help and strength, to change, to do some different things. Pray to the Lord to help me and to grow in patience and maybe apologize or whatever it might be. You know, people see that. They do look at us and they do see, well, they really are trying. They're not perfect. Remember, God calls us all to perfection, but we're working at it. At least, you know, all of us are called to work at it. I mean, so if people can see that, you know, obviously, you know, they should be forgiving, you know, or at least they see the struggle that we're dealing with, you know, and we're working at it with God's help. So to practice what we preach, the next thing I want to bring out, and that is Jesus says, they put heavy burdens that are hard to bear on others, and then they don't even lift a finger to help them. So one of the elements in this for us is, you know, our expectations. That's the thing that we can put expectations on ourselves and others that, well, really, if we look at them, are they really realistic? Yeah, then we wonder why someone or we can't do it because well, our expectations are unrealistic. You know, so one of the things to be cognizant of is that the church, you know, the church has set before us expectations, and some might think, well, these are very difficult expectations. Well, the church, no, they're not. Remember, Jesus says, he doesn't say not to put burden on people. He says to put burdens that are too heavy to bear on people. So, again, we want to challenge ourselves, we want to challenge others, but our expectations can be too heavy, okay? So, back to the church. You know, the church asks us to go to Mass on Sunday, you know, Saturday, Sunday, holy days. You know, fast and abstain during Lent. Other laws of the church, other things that the church prescribes for us. You know, and some people say, well, these are just too hard. It's just like, no, they're not. They're realistic. It could be a lot worse, but the church, in her wisdom, it's like, these are realistic and things that, yeah, that might be hard at times, but we can, with God's help, obviously do them. They're not unreasonable. So for us to be mindful about that, for ourselves to put realistic expectations on ourselves, that's really proper loving of ourselves. Part of it's, you know, realizing our limitations. There's only 24 hours in a day. I can only do so much. You know, sometimes we put heavy burdens on ourselves and then this is what can happen. We can get discouraged, get down, get frustrated. And lose hope. Part of that too is when we do that to other people. You know, when we put such heavy burdens on other people, it's just like they might just give up and let go and just get discouraged. So there's that proper balance. So to have then again realistic expectations certainly on ourselves, but also on others. You know, it's like a father or a mother and expectations of their children. The children are children, they're kids. they're not going to be perfect, and that's partly why, you know, parents are parents. They're called to help their children and have realistic expectations, and when the child doesn't fulfill that, again, we want to challenge people, but have realistic expectations. You know, it's like, yeah, they're a child, they're learning, they're growing, or this person that's new to the faith or struggling with the faith, it's, yeah, they're struggling to acknowledge that. Or, you know, a spouse, you know, a spouse is just like, well, my spouse didn't do this or didn't do that, or why don't they change? You know, it's just like, that's not reasonable. They're not going to change suddenly, or they can't just go from down here to up here. So that can be a heavy burden, and it can get other people discouraged, ourselves discouraged. So just be aware of that. Okay, have realistic expectations. Don't put burdens on others and ourselves that are unrealistic. And then, you know, if we do put burdens, we're still called to help. You know, help. You know, that's why a parent helps their child to fulfill that to which they're called, or a spouse, you know, assisting their spouse. It's just like, yeah, we work together. We're all called to help each other to get to heaven. The last one I want to bring out, and that is that the Pharisees and the scribes were doing things to be seen. They were doing things so they could be seen. And that's kind of a problematic thing, because it's like, okay, why are we doing things that we do? Are we doing them so that we look good and people can give us praise and honor? No, we should actually be doing them for the glory and honor of God. I mean, that's what we're supposed to be doing, giving back to God, giving God the glory. So when someone says, you know, we do something that's, well, it's pretty good, someone gives us a compliment, we can say thank you and, like, praise be to God. He gave me this gift and talent, and I'm using it. And so we turn it to God. We give God the glory and the praise, acknowledging what he has done for us. But to really look at that, you know, why do I do what I do? I'm doing it to give God glory and honor. That's the thing. God sees. God knows. You know, it's like when here during Lent, you know, how you're supposed to go to your room and pray quietly. You know, it's just like, God knows what we're praying for. God knows. And so it helps us really to be in a proper sense, really stay focused on what's really important in our lives. It's just like loving God. Loving God. So, again, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, speaking to all of us. We just ask that we would be helped to practice what we preach, to really have proper and realistic expectations for ourselves and others. And lastly, really to do things for the glory of God.